is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Live off the record, the Chicago Line is sponsored by the Cleveland Clinic, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, the Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, RF Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, Scotiabank, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Line, your host. Here we go. So happy you joined us here today on Guardian 96.9 FM. Wow, I don't understand it. I really don't. I really don't. This is a new development. I do nothing different. And then we have this echo, and then it goes away. All right, let's see how long it lasts. Okay, it's gone now. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. It's a mystery to me, honestly, a mystery. Welcome to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I hope you had a great weekend and that you are ready to roll for the rest of the week. If you are today on the show, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So I do want to speak about the arraignment of Adrian Gibson, Member of Parliament for Long Island. Not the case, not that I want to speak to you about the stakes involved in that situation. But I have news today that we had in the last few days, four murders in New Providence. Last few days, that's something. Now the economy is getting better, mind you. Think about it, it's getting better. and the crime is getting worse. Right, you see. By the way, you know, just in case people think 19 is over for the world, the Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger, was just canceled their concert in Amsterdam because he tested positive for COVID-19. Now, yeah, people aren't dying as much and ain't getting the sick, but that ain't stopping them from you know what it is to cancel a Rolling Stone concert? Well, at least the Rolling Stone ain't playing with it, and so certainly not people in Amsterdam. So, and I'm hearing the Minister of Health saying that they may reintroduce testing for COVID-19. Interesting. So, according to the news reports, there's a continuing arraignment of Adrian Gibson and some six additional adults in relation to some conspiracy to bribe case. We can't hear and don't hear try to speak to anyone's
guilt or innocence, saving and accept. And in our system, you are innocent until proven guilty. That means you go into court an innocent person. I confess that there's some degree of a contradiction to that, to the extent that I don't know innocent people who get taken to court and cuffs and chains and stuff like that. So you don't look innocent, but, you know, but of course we have an adversarial system, and in that adversarial, the prosecutors, if they're taking you to charge you, they are deeming you. They're deeming you as guilty of an offense. And then you go to court, you know, and you get arraigned. But prior to conviction, you're innocent before the law, meaning that unless you are convicted, there is nothing in law against you. And so you are innocent until proven guilty. And so that arraignment is taking place already, charges having been levied. That's substantial. And so that's news. That is big news. It was news when former members of parliament or parliamentarians and cabinet ministers were placed before the courts by the at least the prosecution under the former administration. That was news. And it is news that a sitting member of parliament is also similarly arraigned. This is not new in the world, as such and such has happened in other places in the world. It is new in this country. Saving except, I think, maybe on one or other occasion. Anyway, so I just want to talk about what is at stake in situations like this. Not this particular situation, though these things will be relevant to this particular situation. But these are relevant to any such situation under which a sitting member of parliament, a member of a political party, because this is not an independent person, this is a person who sits in the House of Assembly as a member of the Free National Movement, caucusing with the Free National Movement, which was just up to 9 or 10 months ago, our governing administration of the country. So there are certainly stakes. There are certainly stakes to be considered. So what are some of those stakes? Let's start, and I am literally my point of view. This is not anybody else's point of view. This is from my point of view. Literally listing these in order of priority. Literally. So as I list them from the top priority to the least priority in my humble judgment. First thing that is at stake is a man's personal freedom and freedom of the individuals charged with him and the circumstances now and forever, or at least for the rest of their lives, of their families. Not their family's personal freedom, the people charged, their personal freedom, and then what that could mean for their families. And we sometimes take it for granted because we have it. And to the best of our knowledge, there's no threat of us not having it. But this freedom to get up and do as you please. And even though people say, no, you don't have to go to work. You don't. You cannot go to work and suffer the consequences of not going to work, but you can make that choice. You can bathe if you want or don't bathe. You can brush your teeth or brush your teeth if you don't want. You can eat breakfast or not eat breakfast if you don't want. You can, you know, you can move about, go out your house, go where you want. Nobody can stop you from doing any of that except you are doing it in breach of somebody else's freedom or in violation of the law. You have that freedom. And it's a beautiful thing. Take it for granted because it's so normal in the circumstance until you no longer have it. Until you are in custody, until you are shackles or in handcuffs, or until you are in prison and people are telling you when to get up, where to move, when to go to the bathroom, the toilet, or whatever the deal is, what you're going to eat, because you don't wake up in the morning and decide I'm going to have me some steamed corned beef and grits or some sardine grits and pear. You have what you have what's given to you. And however it's flavored, that's how you get it. You don't get to say this, I don't have enough salt, this not. You get it. You're subject to those who now control your movement. And that's a hell of a thing to have to contend with. And ultimately being charged before the court is about that. Totally. That's really at the end of the day what it is about. It's about a person's personal freedom. And in the theoretical sense of a justice system, nothing is more important than a person's. And this is one of the reasons why, in the backdrop of the concept of justice, is the notion that I would rather have 10 guilty men go free than have one innocent man sentenced to prison. Because it is an egregious thing to deprive an innocent man of his innocent woman of her freedom. That's how seriously the justice system regards saying to you, you can't just commit a person. You have to go through a judicial system that says, yes, this person is a danger to himself or herself or to others, and therefore, in the interest of them and others, we commit them. We take their personal freedom from them and commit them to this asylum. It is when your personal freedom is at stake. This is one of the reasons why it should be a hell of a thing to have a serious regard for your responsibility in protecting that personal freedom so as not to endanger that freedom. However, and so when that freedom is at risk because you find yourself before the court, it is another serious matter that the judicial system requires representation on your part for the most part. Or you can represent yourself if you want, but most people say, you know, as the saying goes, he who has himself for a client has a fool for an attorney, right? Because the notion is, no, don't represent yourself. Find somebody capable. And if it's your personal freedom at stake, find somebody as capable as you can find. And in some circumstances where you can't find or afford somebody, there is a system that will assign somebody to you so that you can have representation. So people ought need to have representation. Now, it has nothing to do with your innocence or guilt. It has to do with our court system is an adversarial court system that wants to have combatants arguing cases so that the innocence or guilt of somebody can be firmly established so as not to send an innocent person to jail or have a guilty one go free. And so this notion that, oh, anybody could see you guilty and so forth, or even if anybody could perceive you guilty, that's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. A lawyer, a sensible lawyer, seeing all the evidence against you, will never ask you if you're guilty. Don't do it. Ask all kinds of questions that helps him provide a defense for you. But they know that they have a job to do, and that job is to robustly defend you against charges before you. So if you have one lawyer, two lawyers, 10 lawyers, etc., it's all a part of what the system expects to be a robust defense. Just as the prosecutor prosecutors have to have a robust case that to convict. The defense has to have a robust case to defend. And think about that. Can justice ever be served poorly if you have a strong prosecution and a strong defense? Are you not more likely to get at the truth under those circumstances than not? And so even a poor man who may, from all the abundance of evidence, appear guilty, should have a robust defense. Now, yes, what is also true, sometimes that robust defense isn't merely about proving you innocent, because that you may be guilty, but the defense is saying, but here is the reason why. There are mitigating circumstances as to this guilt. That's how come you could come out with first degree murder, second degree murder, third degree murder, and so forth. Because in the course of your defense, mitigating circumstance or evidence support that all some of them charges don't apply. And that's why people need good, and that's why the state needs good and solid prosecution. And in our system, when we have strong on both sides, we get the benefit of a good judicial outcome, one way or the other. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Afternoon, Mr. Lang. How are you?
Yeah, how are you?
Oh, God is good. I'll put it like that. Yeah, now I know you're having your show on what's going on with Adrian Gibson at this time, and I know it's so unfortunate, but truth be told, so many other persons should, you know, probably be in a position that he's in today, and they're not, you know, but, you know, we'll see how the justice system pan out on that. But I just wanted to just plug in a quick word for the speaker, Ms. DeVoe, just Patricia DeVoe, yeah, the Speaker of the House. I think she really is doing a commendable job. And when I watch the Parliament Channel and I see her, you know, carrying out her duty as Speaker, I find that she appears to be somebody who wants to harmonize the House. She wants to also have discipline and order. Because there was a time, I think, when she spoke about persons having the cell phone ringing while other persons were making their contribution. And she said, well, if this is going to continue, then there are going to be consequences. And that's right. Now, as a woman, I think she's doing her best. She's doing her best, you know, to execute her task and her duty. And it's shameful and it's so sad, you know. The news reported the day itself. It was another female who was saying, oh, she's an errant. She's wrong for making the remark she made it towards Captain Russell. Now, I will say this also. The climate is changing. And your last show, you played a lot of songs that I really enjoyed, especially the Michael Jackson song about Earth and the changes that the world is going through. And with all this climatic changes happening, especially the Bahamas, we're used to hurricanes, but now we're seeing, lately now we're having tech activities. Now, what she spoke about...
Hello? Hi, I have to take a break. I need you to wrap it up for me, please.
Okay, so real quick. Okay, so what she spoke about, right, with the two old ladies being in position... compromise and then Captain Russell not being on the floor. I don't think that was cruel of her to, you know, mention that. And in fact, when you have position in terms of being in charge of places like NEMA, you should want to be proactive. You know, there's nothing wrong with you being there. You understand? She should not be made to apologize like it's being asked for by, I think, Ms. Bernard. Okay. I think that was the name on the news this morning. I don't think she should. Okay. I think she's well justified to have do what she do, okay. Say what she said, and I don't see a problem okay. with it, and I congratulate her. I hope she keeps doing what she's doing, and thank you for allowing me to have the time to plug that
thank
in.
You. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to deal with that subject another day. Because you and I are not on the same page with that, but I can't do that today. I don't want to quite be distracted from what I'm touching on today. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabira Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. We'll be right back.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best behemoth at international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding lives. By knowing what actions you should take to reduce the hurricane disaster, get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, surge protectors, essential supplies, plus so much more before the storm, after the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity, plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, or your account executives. Will you be prepared?
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises residents of Pinecrest Drive, South Beach East, that the corporation will commence improvement work on Tuesday, May 31st, 2022, for a duration of 5 weeks, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. During this period, there may be some interruption in the water supply, road closure, and detours around the work area. Motorists are advised to avoid the area where possible. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
Imagine driving your dream car, doing all the things you never thought you could, like perfecting your parallel parking skills or picking up your date. Everyone loves to dream. Stop dreaming. Start driving with a brand new offer from Scotiabank. With an auto loan from Scotiabank, benefit from no payments for up to 2 months, a low interest rate up to 9 years to repay, and free insurance for the first year up to 2.5% of the loan amount. Promotion ends June 30th, 2022. Stop dreaming and start driving today with an auto loan from Scotiabank.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Shabago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. So glad that you could join us today. So we're talking about the arraignment of Adrian Gibson and others, not specifically the case, but we're talking about what's at stake in circumstances and situations like this. And we're talking about the first thing, the first and most important thing is the personal freedom of the individuals involved and their families and all that that means for them. Now, I wanna give you a scenario. Let's suppose, and this has happened, that a person turns himself in or herself in to the police and say, you know what, the crime that you were looking for me for, I am guilty of. I am guilty of that crime, and I'm surrendering myself to the courts. So your guilt has been firmly established. Let me ask you a question. What should family members and friends do to you under those circumstances? Should they distance themselves from you, having confess to this crime? It could be murder, it could be rape, it could be something else. Should they distance themselves from you? Should they decide that you are unworthy for me to be around? Is that what would be expected of a family member or friend? Okay, and so let's say the family member or friend says, you know, no way, I love you and I care for you and I will be here with you in the midst of all of this. And let's say they decide that, and then they go to your arraignment and your case, on your sentencing. Are they tarnished by
Are they your family members and your friends? Are they tarnished by it? Now, I'm not asking, are people going to say, oh, child, you know what, his mommy, his daddy, his brother, his sister, they want to get, they were guilty of it. I'm not talking about that, because anyone who says that about you or your family members vindictively, what is it that they mean to you? And what have they ever meant to you? I have had a brother who has been sentenced to prison a number of times. He is deceased now. And when he was in prison, he was my brother. When he came out of prison, he was my brother, and I moved up and down with him from time to time. Okay? Did I approve of his conduct and behavior in every single way? No, not at all. But so what? He was my brother. I loved him. Did people say, oh, you know, his brothers are dead? Yes, they did. But what are we called to do, though? What are we called to do? We are called to love no matter what. Right? So if a person decides that in your situation, I cannot afford to be tarnished by what you've done, I understand that stance. I condemn no human being for taking such a stance. Not at all, at all, at all. However, if you are my friend, if you are my family, and you care about me, and you want to show me some support, even in what appears to be my difficult circumstance, am I better served by that, or am I least served by that? I'm better served by it. Will that get me off? Of course not. Might somebody snicker at me because I was around? Of course they might. But so what? You know what Jesus was accused of being? Hanging around publicans and sinners. Hanging around publicans and sinners. He was called a wine bibber. Because he was hanging out with drunkards and wine bibbers. And you know what he said? He said, listen, man, you know what? These healthy people don't need no physician. I come for them who are sick. Well, when you are in trouble, the people who love you and the people who care for you, the people who are interested in your well-being, they are your physicians. Their comfort, their support, is a part of your healing, even if you are guilty. Because if they love you and care about you and they know you are guilty, they will say to you, you know what? The choices you have made has now brought this consequence upon your head. But still, I love you. Because now, beyond your sentencing and what have you, there is that restorative hope that one might get. That ain't for everybody. And no man should be judged if he decides, you know what, bro, my business situation don't allow me to do it. My other things might be compromised by it. And so I want you to understand why I can't be here, I can't be there. That's fine, no problem. But let's be aware of the truth and reality of things, right? Nobody can tarnish your character by appearing with somebody who's innocent, who's guilty or appears to be guilty, or charged of it. Nobody can tarnish your character. Your reputation is always in somebody else's judgment anyway. And any day they decide you aren't the person they think you are, they put you on notice and they do to you what they want, and there's nothing you can do about it, innocent or guilty. Nothing you can do about it. Nothing. Once people have made up in their minds, you're good or you're bad, and that is sometimes situational, depending on what you did for them or didn't do for them, or what you did to them or didn't do to them. That is told, your reputation is what another person thinks of you. Your character is what you are. And sometimes they kill you for your reputation, but you get resurrected because of your character. And that's just the way it is. Anyway, I don't know what nobody do. I don't know. I have no idea. And I am not going to swear for anyone. I'm not going to do it. Because if I wasn't there, how can I? I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. If you are my friend, and I ain't got a whole lot of them, but I have some of them. Listen to me. They could hold my friend before the court for the worst of offenses. Am I condoning if he or she did that? Absolutely not. But they can be doggone sure. I shall not abandon them. Not privately or publicly. It shall not happen. Now, that's the first thing at stake, personal freedom. The second thing that is at stake is our judicial system and its integrity. One of the worst things that came out of the Gibson-Smith trial was a calling into question the administration of our prosecutorial system as a part of our justice system. Whether rightly or wrongly, people were accused of not acting appropriately in those cases, whether rightly or wrongly, you want to avoid that at any cost. Especially where there are political personalities at stake. Because none of us can afford to live in a state where your prosecution, and I'm not suggesting this has ever happened, I'm just saying you don't want to live in a state where your prosecution is driven by political considerations. Where if you were an FNM, you'd get prosecuted. If you were PLP, you'd get prosecuted. If you were FNM, you wouldn't get prosecuted. If you were PLP, you would get prosecuted or for any other party. You don't want to live in that kind of state. You don't want the nature and degree of your prosecution be determined by your political standing. You don't want that. You don't want that. And we don't want politicians interfering with the technicians who are to carry out prosecutions. That is the police and the attorney general's office and the public prosecutor's office. You don't want that at all. You don't want that. Bull nonsense. You never want that. I don't care if the PLP, FNM, DNA, or no A is in power. You never want that kind of thing to prevail in your country. So we must all be examining this as we were examining the case before. For we want it to be done in good fashion. I have to tell you, Brave Davis's posturing on the matter, I think, is appropriate. He stays out, he doesn't get involved, and that's the way it ought to be. Neither should any of his colleagues, but not by commentary or by behavior. At least as far as we know today. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We are listening to you.
Good. Good afternoon, Shibago. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing okay. And yourself?
I'm doing fine, Brendan. I found the conversation very, very interesting. I really appreciate your I really appreciate your disposition as it relates to the prosecution of the current member of parliament for Long Island, right? What I wanted to add a couple of points.
Let me correct you. This is very important to me, and I take this very seriously. I have no position on the current prosecution of any member of parliament. What I am saying is, matters like these, there are some considerations. That's all I'm saying.
Shibago.
Yeah, I'm listening.
I don't know if you can hear me. I'm having a challenge on my side. Let me hang up, please, and call you back.
Yeah, no problems. Okay, no problems. Go right ahead. All right. So we need the judicial system to perform well. That's of utmost importance after the personal freedom consideration of the people before courts. So that's the second thing. We're going to take a break as a matter of fact, and then do we have a call on the line? Go ahead, caller. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabara Lang, your host. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our considerations. We'll be back after this.
Together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises residents of Pinecrest Drive, South Beach East, that the corporation will commence improvement work on Tuesday, May 31st, 2022, for a duration of 5 weeks, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. During this period, there may be some interruption in the water supply, road closure, and detours around the work area. Motorists are advised to avoid the area where possible. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding lives. By knowing what actions you should take to reduce the effects of hurricane disaster, get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, surge protectors, essential supplies, plus so much more before the storm. After the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and more. The Nassau Guardians Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today at 302-2300 or your account executives. Will you be prepared?
Imagine driving your dream car, doing all the things you never thought you could, like perfecting your parallel parking skills or picking up your date. Everyone loves to dream. Stop dreaming. Start driving with a brand new offer from Scotiabank. With an auto loan from Scotiabank, benefit from no payments for up to 2 months, a low interest rate up to 9 years to repay, and free insurance for the first year up to 2.5% of the loan amount. Promotion ends June 30th, 2022. Stop dreaming and start driving today with an auto loan from Scotiabank.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
To Z Live, I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Okay, so we're talking about the things that are at stake in any prosecution such as we now have involving a sitting member of parliament. From a member of parliament or parliamentarian, these things are at stake. First, the personal freedom of the people involved and their families, issues and interests. Then there is our judicial system, which should be closely observed for its integrity, its ability to pursue a prosecution devoid of political considerations. That's important. That isn't important for the FNMLPLD. That's important for the Bahamas, the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Because if a parliamentarian breaks the law, that parliamentarian ought to be prosecuted. If a parliamentarian is believed to have broken the law, though, and you're going after that parliamentarian because the parliamentarian happens to be on the opposite side, that's a different situation altogether. So altogether, right? And I don't mean believe as a, if the police doing its job arrives at sufficient evidence to go before the courts to lay a charge, it is the court's responsibility to determine whether that person should be arraigned and the matter should proceed. That's the court's determination. So I have no difficulty with the police doing their job, no matter who it is, right? That's the police's responsibility. And it's the determination of the prosecutor's office to decide whether a sufficient case exists to proceed. So I'm not concerned about that at all. That's how the judicial system ought to work. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Okay, I can hear you clearly now. Can you hear me, Shabago?
We can hear you.
Okay, great.
We were able to hear you before, Anton. You had a problem hearing us.
So okay,
we had all of your introductions up to might be making interesting comments and so forth.
Okay, great. And so just picking up from where I left off at, I caught the last end of what you wanted to make clear, which is that you're not taking any position, and that's totally respectable, right? And so I can continue on saying I agree with your disposition expressed. And what I wanted to add is I believe that although I don't agree with the methods that were used with the former prime minister in terms of how they allowed for certain ministers to get involved in manners and ways in which they should never have been involved with any prosecution, and how persons responsible for evidence contaminated that evidence, corrupted that evidence,
Anton, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Has anybody been convicted of contaminating or corrupting evidence in any case that you are aware of in this country in recent times? I'm asking a straightforward question, otherwise I'm gonna have to cut you. Has anyone been convicted of corrupting?
No.
Okay, then you can't say what you say in the manner you said it.
Okay, Shabagum, what I would say to that is this, okay? The evidence proved during the trial by QC out of Jamaica proved that the evidence was contaminated, okay? They proved that there was collaboration, which was illegal. It was against the law, right?
And nobody was prosecuted for it.
And no one was pursued for prosecution.
Notwithstanding, this was a public trial, and the police just watched that and just moved right on.
But at the same time, Shabago, that's not to say that not because someone wasn't prosecuted, that's not to say that it cannot still happen.
Yeah, but you see, the difference is, Anton, the way you are phrasing it, I don't want to put the radio station at risk. So, and I'm not aware of the facts of what you said. So I think you should just make your point, please, but be careful. All right, I didn't cut you, bro. Don't. Listen, man, we are responsible for protecting the ownership on the station because this is the platform that we are allowed and permitted. We can't be exposing people to any charges and claims that we cannot validate, evidence, et cetera. And we have to be careful. I mean, listen, man, I don't care what your political passion is and what your political side is, FNMP or whatever, just be careful. You can still make a point, but exercising caution. My God, the discretion is so critical in public discourse. It is critical. And there is nothing that prevents you from making a sound point without putting at risk the station, the host, or anybody. And I'm careful. I want to be careful of that. Anyway, so that's the judicial system is the other thing that is. Do we have a caller on the line right now? A different caller? Hello?
Yeah, Sabago?
Yeah, go ahead, Anton. Anton, you got to go ahead for me, but we're running out of time because we have to go to the news break. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about the third thing that is at stake, but we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises residents of Pinecrest Drive, South Beach East, that the corporation will commence improvement work on Tuesday, May 31st, 2022, for a duration of 5 weeks, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. During this period, there may be some interruption in the water supply, road closure, and detours around the work area. Motorists are advised to avoid the area where possible. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding lives. By knowing what actions you should take to reduce the effects of hurricane disaster, get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, surge protectors, essential supplies, plus so much more before the storm, after the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity, plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, or your account executives. Will you be prepared?
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services, from click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
They're playing basketball.
That's right, boys and girls. Get ready to play basketball at the 34th annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, July 4th through July 29th. At the Kendall G. L. Isaacs Gym, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. daily. So parents, get your boys and girls ages 5 through 18 registered now. Applications available at the South Bahamas Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, Tonic Williams Darling Highway, and at the registration desk at Campsite Kendall G. L. Isaacs Gym. Special appearances by NBA players, legends, and coaches. So get your boys and girls registered now, ages 5 through 18, for the 34th annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp. July 4th through July 29th.
A local paper in Grand Bahama is back every Tuesday as a section of the Nassau Guardian. Available at local stores, gas stations, pharmacies, Western Bakery, and Bellevue Gifts. Daily and, of course, on Tuesdays too. Want to reach your Grand Bahama audience? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let you know that you're not alone, holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabar Golang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. We are talking about the fact that that an arraignment of Adrian Gibson, the Member of Parliament for Long Island, a former chairman of the Water and Sewage Corporation, is taking place now along with five other adults. And we're not talking about that case in particular, we're talking about the things that are at stake when something like this happens. And let's be clear, we're talking about the fact that in particular, a sitting member of parliament, a politician, just as Shane Gibson, Frank Smith were prosecuted, won their cases, were acquitted, and they were former members of parliament, parliamentarians, politicians. And I recall at the time of that prosecution, there were very seasoned and experienced people who thought it was ill-advised, not a path that we should have gone on down, a road we should have gone down anyways, but that it did happen. And when this happens, you're talking about a special matter here. You know what? While anyone before the court is a serious and important thing, when you are prosecuting people of political standing, now you bring a dimension into it of fairness, or utmost fairness, or political considerations that might not be involved with what we might call a prosecution that doesn't involve a political personality, right? And so that is why, beyond the question of freedom, the judicial system's integrity becomes especially important in the circumstance. What is the third thing that is at stake? The third thing that's at stake is the legacy of the former administration. So, what does that have to do with anything? Well, listen, if an executive chairman is running a corporation under an administration, that executive chairman, and the difference between a chairman and an executive chairman is that the chairman is the chairman of the board of directors. The board of directors of a company represent the owners of the company. They represent the owner's interest. The owners of the Board and Sewage Corporation or any one of our corporations is essentially the Bahamian people, but that ownership is entrusted to the cabinet of the Bahamas. And so the board of directors are appointed by the cabinet of the Bahamas to represent the people's interest, given that the government, the cabinet, is the trustee of that ownership on behalf of the Bahamian people. So that's the interest that the board of directors are representing. The head of that board is the chairman. And the board is responsible for determining the strategic direction of the company, for ensuring that the company operates within the mandates and the within the pursued interests of the owners of the company. And therefore, the executive management of the company is accountable to the board for its performance. And the board is to protect the owners from the managers, because sometimes the manager's interests might depart from that of the owners. That's what we call corporate governance. Now, an executive chairman, a chairman, an ordinary chairman, doesn't participate in the day-to-day operation of the company. He or she leaves that to the president of the company, the general manager of the company, and the management of the company. They just exist to provide strategic policy direction for the company, right? And to look out for things like conflicts of interest, corruption, bad and poor strategic decisions that might cost the company in terms of sales loss or unnecessary costs, and or might have reputational considerations and these kinds of stuff. Investments that might lead to the failure of the company. These kinds of things are what the board is responsible for taking account of, and the chairman therefore leads the board in that regard. An executive chairman, unlike an ordinary chairman, is involved with the day-to-day operation of the company. So the executive chairman goes to work every day, Monday to Friday, typically, and more, essentially acting as a kind of extended manager of the company. So the executive chairman is getting involved with all kinds of the business of a company, because that's why he or she has a salary position, because they are full-time participant in the operation of management, leadership of the company. So, but that chairman, every chairman, executive or non-executive, is accountable to the minister, who in law has overall responsibility for that corporation. And in this instance, it's normally the Minister of Public Works. Right? And so that minister is supposed to be overseeing and ensuring that the corporation, through its board, in particular its chairman, is operating within the policy confines of the government. And those policy confines include any consideration of fiduciary, integrity, and accountability and transparency provision of the government. That's the responsibility of that minister. And that minister has that responsibility by virtue of his assignment from the prime minister. So when things like this come into play, it's not just the individual and his or her conduct in their own personal right that is at stake. It is also a consideration of how that administration administered its affairs. They're not going to be prosecuted for that. This is not a matter of whether you broke the law as an administration. This is whether you failed in your responsibilities in oversight. That's really what it is. It's a leadership issue. So it goes to whether there was a leadership. That won't come up in the courts. The courts isn't interested in that. This is about prevention of bribery. The courts are not interested in that. The court is interested in bribery issues. But beyond that, so the BLP or others or even F&Ms might take into account, well, what happened? Like, how could this, or if in fact whatever happened, how could it have? If there was the kind of oversight. So that's another consideration that comes in to play. And that's another thing that's at stake. And it is therefore no wonder that the fourth thing that is at stake is the political party's consideration. The political party's consideration. Why? The political party was the administration in office. And if a thing runs a risk of accentuating its effectiveness or diminishing its effectiveness, then it also diminishes the, it has the potential to diminish the confidence that a public might have in that party. And that's why a party has a very delicate line to walk. One in which, if in fact it believes that the prosecution is not a legitimate or substantial or credible one, it might do whatever it can to help provide for the defense of one of its own because it feels its own legacy is under attack. Now, if it believes there is credibility here, it ain't gonna come out and say that because it would not want to prejudice the case of the person, because that's not what you want to do in any circumstance, because they are before the court and you want a jury or whatever to make their determinations, uncoerced or unprejudiced by anything. But now it has to decide how best to walk this thin line of support in the against the backdrop that a person is innocent until proven guilty, and this person happens to be one of our own members, and not jumping on a wagon that they might believe may ultimately end in a guilty verdict. All right, so it has to take all of those things into consideration. Now, typically, you can't, if you weren't there, you can't swear by anybody. So you can't say, oh, he's innocent and they just prosecuting him unduly and so forth. You can't say that, you weren't there, right? If you don't have the evidence to say that this is nonsense and so forth, so you can't really say that. But you can't back off and say, well, you know, I staying out because, like, you know, I can't do that to your member. You can't do that. Right? So you have a person has to have a defense. You have a defense. Well, wonderful. You got members. I hear that they're referred to as F&M lawyers. And I understand what is meant by that, but they're not F&M lawyers. They are F&Ms who are lawyers, or they are lawyers who are F&Ms. And so you get the benefit of legal representation, but an association with the party that says my party's operatives are assisting me. And clear, a jury, potential jurors will look at that and say, okay, you know, because I can tell you one thing. If you show up to court and when you look back, ain't nobody with you who you were affiliated with all along, that ain't a good look. Right? having people with you don't save you, but not having people with you, that is tell a story, Jack. Right? And then if you show up to court and the people who are representing you, like people say, like, well, who that is? That ain't a good look either. So, you know, you do what you can to ensure a robust defense. So that's the fourth thing. The final thing is, that's at stake, is Bahamian governance and its reputation in the eyes of the international community. And notice I said I was doing this in order of priority, Well, to me, this is a high priority, but it isn't above the ones I talked to about before, but it's important. Bahamian governance. How do we govern this country? Is that what people go? See, you got to remember now. And you all might be paying attention to all this with some details. Them people over there, they watching your headlines and snippets. And it is a general tendency of human beings to draw conclusions based on limited or no facts. They see corrupt politician or something. They see this one before the courts or that thing. They go out there and they think there's another one of them countries. So, if you prosecute maybe, and there is evidence and somebody is found guilty, that also sends a message. It also could be read as, well, you know what, in that country, they deal with these matters, right? But it is another something that is at stake. And so there you have it. All right, we have some text here. Let me read those for you. This text is IZ. No, they should be there to provide emotional and moral support, not abandon them. This text says, Mr. Lang, I'm concerned about something, and that's ministers been carrying before the courts because with those, where does it end? And also, what type of political skeletons this could bring up in the future of Bahamas policies? Well, if you carry out a prosecution of any politician or anybody in the appropriate manner, I wouldn't be concerned about it. I won't be concerned. That is as it should be. Stacks says, Mr. Lang, but I do understand what you are saying, because you know there is such a thing as abuse of power and those kinds of things, and that's why I said that the judicial system's integrity will always, in these circumstances, be under extra scrutiny. This text is, Mr. Lang, this is a back and forth thing, petty politics. You carry my ministers before the court, so I do the same to you. Petty politics. I can't say that is true. I can't say that this is true. We have to watch this case and see what happens, but you can't, I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. This text says, good afternoon, Minister Lang. Mr. Lang, just listening to your show, I would like to know if an MP was found guilty before the courts, can he or she serve again as an MP or any other area regarding politics? Well, the Constitution is very clear on who qualifies for elected office in the country, you know. So you need to be able to read your laws. Now I actually have some printed copies of the Bahamas Constitution order, independence order, that it contains the Constitution, which I'm gonna let you all know when now. So don't do that like that. I don't want to do that like that, because I don't want your bottom rush. Anyway. Let me leave that for now until I can figure out our best in that, because sometimes we don't have the most order in life. But the Constitution is quite clear on qualifications to the House of Assembly. And what it says is, in order for a person to be qualified to be in the House of Assembly, that person has to first be of age 21 years or up. So you have to be 21 years up, have to have ordinarily resided in the Bahamas for a period of at least 1 year immediately before the date of his nomination or her nomination for election. Now here's how you disqualify, right? So you can't be a member of the House of Assembly if you are a citizen of a country other than the Bahamas, having become such a citizen voluntarily, or if you pledge allegiance, obedience, or adherence to a foreign power or state. So you could still be a citizen of the Bahamas, but if you pledge allegiance to the United States, pledge allegiance to some other country, then you can't become a member of the House of Assembly. You are disqualified to be a member of the House of Assembly. If you've been adjudged bankrupt under any law of the Bahamas, you can't be. If you're certified to be insane or adjudged to be of unsound mind under any law enforced in the Bahamas, remember, these are lawful adjudications now. This isn't somebody saying, Charlie, she crazy, they crazy. This isn't even a medical practitioner saying so. You have to have been adjudged such under the law. If you are under sentence of death imposed by the courts, you can't be in the House of Assembly. If you if there's any law that the government passes, or the parliament passes that disqualifies you, you can't be a member of the House of Assembly if you're a senator. If you have an interest in a government contract but don't disclose that, then you are disqualified. That's okay. And then, you know, parliament could provide for any law. So there's nothing here that says that you can't run again if you've been so prosecuted. I don't see anything that says that, but you know, there are lawyers who may have better information than me. It's Texas, Mr. Lang, why does it sound like you feel a person of political standing is better than anyone else? Politicians should be tried just like anyone else. I think they should be tried to a greater standard, in fact, because they should know better. I've been advocating for an ombudsman the day I learned how the political directorate operates. If you listen to me and walk away thinking I think the politicians are better, I won't even answer you. I really don't. Hey, that's not even worth my time. This text says, now that Mr. Gibson is charged, does the law require him to resign? No, there's no law that requires him to resign. None whatsoever. Because he is charging, being charged, and convicted are not the same thing. And there's nothing that disqualifies you because you've been charged before the courts. He may choose to resign because of personal reasons, to be able to give robust and focused defense to himself, to spare his constituents, the duality of having to deal with him and the matters before the courts, but he isn't required to do so. This text says, my take is, if procedures were followed, nobody would be before a judge today. And for the police to seize assets and present at least a 30-count charge, there must be, on the surface, very serious departures from procedure. Trial will determine whether these departures are criminal acts, oversights, or sloppiness. Someone failed, Mr. Gibson, sometimes, and no is the best gift we can get. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got to take a break. When we come back, we will continue our discussion. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host.
Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
A local paper in Grand Bahama is back every Tuesday as a section of the Nassau Guardian. Available at local stores, gas stations, pharmacies, Western Bakery, and Bellevue Gifts. Daily and, of course, on Tuesdays too. Want to reach your Grand Bahama audience? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises residents of Pinecrest Drive, South Beach East, that the corporation will commence improvement work on Tuesday, May 31st, 2022, for a duration of 5 weeks, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. During this period, there may be some interruption in the water supply, road closure, and detours around the work area. Motorists are advised to avoid the area where possible. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding lives.
by knowing what actions you should take to reduce the effects of hurricane disaster. Get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, surge protectors, essential supplies, plus so much more before the storm, after the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and more. The Nassar Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today at 302-2300 or your account executives. Will you be prepared?
That's right, boys and girls, get ready to play basketball at the 34th annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, July 4th through July 29th at the Kendall GL Isaacs Gym, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. daily. So parents, get your boys and girls ages 5 through 18 registered now. Applications available at the South Bahamas Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, Tonic Williams Darling Highway, and at the registration desk at Campsite Kendall GL Isaacs Gym. Special appearances by NBA players, legends, and coaches. So get your boys and girls registered now, ages 5 through 18, for the 34th annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, July 4th through July 29th.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavar Rolang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have a number of texts here I want to read for you. So this text says, if this was the FNM, PLPs would be all over social media, talk shows and news, crying to the high hills for order and discipline. Clearly, this speaker needs a reality check and to be pulled down from her high horse. We'll talk about that another time, maybe even if I get time then later. You can support someone even if they were videotaped in the act of killing someone. Your support has nothing to do with innocence or guilt. It's because you have love for the individual. So if members of the FNM have love for Adrian, sure, go support him. But if they have any damning information that we don't, as a political organization, it would be unbecoming of them to issue statements of support. Absolutely, at least support of the act. This text says, Mr. Lyon, question. If you were to make an assessment of the speaker's delivery, tune and behavior in the house, what would your judgment, your opinion be? Please advise. What is speaking to you all lately? Says, is this automatic or does the person charged have to request it? Oh, if what is automatic? I'm not sure what you're asking now. This text says, Mr. Lyon, could you tell me how is it determined that if the government loses a case, the government is responsible for paying the defense lawyer's fees? Well, if you lose a case, the government is only an entity before the courts. And remember, the courts are independent. So if the government goes to court like anybody else, and if one of the matters of consideration is that if you lose, you pay costs, because the idea is you cost me to come here, child, cost me all this money. And if the court is willing to levy cost on the government, and that's how it works. That's how it's determined. It's the law. It's how it works. Texas, Chivago, are you aware of the historical fact of the Bahamian Parliament? So here it is. In the Bahamian Parliament's 300 plus years in existence, only one sitting member of Parliament was charged before a court of law. He wasn't an FNM or a BDP or a UBP or a free PLP. He was a PLP. His name, Wilbert Moss. Yes, MP for Anagua and Mayor Guani. He was convicted and sent to prison for attempting to bribe a judge.
Mr. Ingram alluded to that sometime before. I think this text says, I'm writing to see who the beneficial owners are of those shell companies involved with contracts rewarded. I mean, as long as we are on this trend of bringing people to justice to account for people's money, Auditor General went quiet. Wonder if he got those names and can the public see these, please? Well, you could wonder all you want. I don't have that information, so I can't help you with it. Says, can paper Bahamians, who's those who got naturalized, be an MP? Paper Bahamian? Yes. What is a paper Bahamian? I'm not gonna do that today. I don't know what in the world is a paper Bahamian. Everybody's a paper Bahamian. Everybody, because you're made a Bahamian by virtue of the Constitution and the laws of the Bahamas. What are they on? They're on paper. My God. There's something in relation to passing on citizenship that a naturalized person can't do. I read for you what the qualifications are to be a member of the House Assembly. I read it from the Constitution. And it was two things, right? None of them mentioned paper Bahamian or non-paper Bahamian. Two things. Let me read it for you again. Right? Even the disqualifying ones. None of them talk about any paper Bahamian. What is that? In fact, before I even do anything with that, please send me something where in law that defines a paper Bahamian, please, okay? I'd be grateful. I'd be very grateful to you to send me something that defines a paper Bahamian in law. I'd be happy to hear that. Now, the Speaker of the House Assembly. I mean, I have watched some sessions in the House of Assembly with the Speaker. And in some of those sessions, I found nothing to disagree with her performance. And in those sessions, I've seen some sessions where I've said to myself, oh, wow, I have. I've done that. I've seen that. But I've seen that with Halton Moultrie when he was Speaker. And, you know, I'd have to say that outside of those two, I haven't seen other speakers where I have had occasion to say, what in the world? I have to say, and the current speaker, yeah, I've had some moments with them, but I've seen moments where they did their jobs and did them as well as they needed to do. Right, this speaker, obviously, she has a temperament that is far more aggressive and, she can seem at times, really, really aggressive in the way she handles things. And some might even say non-judicious in the way she handles things. But she is the speaker. And ain't nothing you could do about it. I don't even know what you're beating your gum up about it for. She's not gonna change unless she resigns or is required to do so, or is removed by virtue of some law or the other. That's a speaker, and she can be the speaker, right? So you know, why yuck up your vexation, right? Sometimes in these things, you get somebody who you like, and sometimes you get somebody you can't deal with. That's how it goes. There are some speakers, they're not aggressive. They are not, they don't come across in a way that offends, but they are still very partial and unfair in the execution of their duties as speaker, right? Very partisan. And that's one of the things I like to tell people, you know, some of us, this is what happens. Some people are aggressive and they are direct and they tell you what they think and people walk away, oh, they so arrogant. Oh, they so this and they so that. Yeah, that might all be true or all might appear to be true. But they got people who quietly chuck you up in your back all day long, smiling in your face, appearing to be the most polite person on planet Earth. And all the while, the person who just gave you a piece of their mind directly has lifted no knife to your chest or to your back. In the meanwhile, that little quiet soul you've been talking about, oh, so nice, oh, such a sweet person. This is a sweet person. You get mashed right the hell up from them. What matters in the end is that people are doing their jobs. Sometimes they may do it offensively in terms of the way they come across, but if they're doing their jobs, if the speaker is doing her job, meaning to manage the affairs of the house with fairness, to give all sides, especially the minority party, the opportunity to. Now, I have seen instances where she's appeared to be frustrating that, for sure. But be sure that there are others who may not come across like her. FNM and PLP, who knew how to frustrate. Even I've seen FNM speakers frustrate FNM governance. We got a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
I'm going to ask you a question, sir, and I would like for you. When the speaker spoke to Mr. Adrian White last week, would you have liked, when you were in the House of Assembly, for her to address you in that manner?
I don't know how she did, ma'am. I've not heard that. I don't know what happened. So I'm totally in the blind.
That, and I normally watch the House of Assembly. I had Dr. Major, I had Miss Italia Johnson, and they were people I admire. And I never see them act or behave in the manner in which she addressed the House of Assembly and those persons that was in there. I think it was wrong when Mr. Mutri did it to the PLP, and I think it's wrong now when she is doing it to the other side. She needs to know that we, the Bahamian people, sent all of them there, and they all should be heard in the same manner and with the same respect. She lack respect for herself as well as us, as the general public. You have a good evening, sir.
You too. I did not see any exchange between her and Adrian White. And I know I have watched in person and on TV speakers from Arlington Butler. I've seen Sir Clifford Darling. I've seen Lord, my colleague from Inagua. Brother Simonet. I've seen Roma Talia Johnson. I've seen Alvin Smith, and of course Kendall Major, and now this speaker. I may have missed some in between, and I have to say that for the most part, I had no difficulty with the behavior and conduct of any speaker, save and except Halsey Moultrie. I mean, I'm not saying it all together, but sometimes I just wonder, like, what is he thinking? I did. And similarly now, this speaker, there's no question I wonder sometimes. But, you know, they're not always that way. Sometimes they are, you know, when I've seen them, they've done their jobs and done them well, right? But for the most part, most of the other speakers I found were people you could certainly believe had the best interests of the parliament, the House of Assembly at heart, and did their jobs with some degree of decorum and fairness that, you know, didn't invite more attention on themselves than on the House of Assembly, right? But we ain't all gonna be the same. You got what you got, and remember, she was appointed. She was appointed, she was elected by the members of the House Assembly, and ordinarily, unanimously. We're going to take our final break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. When we come back, I want to mention something else with respect to the speaker and a comment about Stephen Russell. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been.
Switch for better when you move your mortgage to Scotiabank.
Leave behind that old mortgage plan and open the door to a low interest rate. No payments for up to 2 months and cash back of 2.5% of the mortgage amount up to US $10,000. And guess what? It gets better. Apply for your Scotiabank credit card and enjoy a low 9.99% introductory rate for the first 6 months. Switch for better and upgrade your mortgage today with Scotiabank. Offer ends June 30th, 2022.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding lives. By knowing what actions you should take to reduce the effects of hurricane disaster, get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, surge protectors, essential supplies, plus so much more before the storm, after the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and more. The Nassar Guardians Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today at 302-2300 or your account executives. Will you be prepared?
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises residents of Pinecrest Drive, South Beach East, that the corporation will commence improvement work on Tuesday, May 31st, 2022, for a duration of 5 weeks, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. During this period, there may be some interruption in the water supply, road closure, and detours around the work area. Motorists are advised to avoid the area where possible. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller. Until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like.
welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabar Gulang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. In these last remaining moments, if you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So Anita Bernard, former Secretary to the Cabinet, permanent secretary. She was a permanent secretary in the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture when I was there. Quite a consummate professional, dedicated and committed to the decorum of the public service. Had some comments to make about the speaker's criticism of Stephen Russell, the commander of NEMA. She took umbrage with the speaker's criticism of Captain Russell as a public officer, and suggested that the speaker apologizes to him. Now, let me tell you all something, firstly, about the speaker's position. The speaker ordinarily does not participate in debates in the House of Assembly or speaks outside of the business, the conducting of the business of the, I'm sorry, the House. Because the partiality of the speaker insofar as trying to administer fairness in the House of Assembly is important. And so generally speaking, the speaker is left to pay attention to ensuring the affairs of the House is conducted as smoothly as possible. And so for that reason, the speaker has others to speak for her. The government should speak for the speaker in respect to the speaker's constituency, right? That's why you take care of the speaker's constituency, because the speaker can't get up and make debate and law and herald their constituencies, et cetera. The government takes care of the speaker's constituency. Let me say it again. The government should take care of the speaker's constituency. So in those considerations, a speaker actually diminishes the power of her or his position by having to speak for himself or herself in those kinds of matters. Because this is the Speaker of the House who can pick up the telephone and say, Prime Minister, you know, this and such happened the other day, and I didn't see X, Y, and Z take place. Prime Minister, please see to that for me, please. The Prime Minister's head of the government. Prime Minister picks up the phone and says, Captain Russell, can you explain to me exactly what happened on this occasion, et cetera, and gives him the opportunity under due process to speak for his situation himself. When the speaker has to get up and castigate a public officer, firstly, I want you all to see this. Firstly, the speaker is suggesting I don't have the influence with the government that I should have because it's the government that should attend to my matter. While the matter was ongoing, the speaker should pick up the phone and say, Prime Minister, you know, we have this and such and such happening down here and I don't have no attention. Prime Minister picks up and says, Captain Russell, we need some attention down the road. Boom, takes care of the speaker. That's how it should work. Now, I want you to know, Captain Russell isn't an FNM Captain Russell head of NEMA or PLP Captain Russell head of NEMA. Captain Russell has been around over several administrations that kept him around. Okay? So when the speaker criticizes him, the speaker isn't criticizing him, the big speaker is criticizing the government of the Bahamas. Because the pleasure of the government of the Bahamas, and if the government of the Bahamas didn't reprimand him or remove him or do anything to him for the job he's doing, then the speaker and the government are at odds. And frankly, if a speaker criticizes him in that manner, he has a minister who either should speak to the matter and say, you know, we've looked into the situation and here's what happened, and we think there was a lapse in judgment here, but we attribute it to this side, and then, or vindicates him. But to leave him standing out there like that, this is not how we should govern. Politicians should not publicly castigate, especially in the House of Assembly, public officers, civil servants, because they have not the right of defense. They can't even get up outside and say, that person should not have said this about me, because they are at a serious disadvantage in respect of the duties and responsibilities they have. It shouldn't happen. It should not happen. It should not happen. This is a learning moment. Now, listen, get angry to speak if you want, and speak if you get angry with me if she wants. That's not my point here. There is a way these things can be done. And I'm telling you, when a speaker exercises her office to protect, to serve her own constituency by bringing the power of the government to bear on it, that is as it should be. Because the speaker doesn't get the same privilege everybody else gets to stand up in the House of Assembly and speak for their constituency and do that kind of stuff. So they should see work being done in their constituency, because the speaker is being served by the government. And you can't lay out civil servants and public officers that way. That's not right. It's not right. It should not be done that way. The speaker is the speaker of the House of Assembly and a member of parliament. A speaker and a member of parliament can call up Captain Russell even after the fact, even if he wasn't responsive, and require Captain Russell to attend a meeting and to explain himself, or report him to his minister, who has the opportunity to judge and assess the matter. So Mrs. Bernard, former cabinet secretary, is correct in calling out this matter in this way. Because if you don't remove a man from his office because you believe he is derelict in his responsibilities, then you should not permit anyone to castigate him without some appropriate response to the matter. Because he's vulnerable, he's at a disadvantage. He has not the same platform. He has not the same privilege to be in the House of Assembly and call anyone's name or accuse anyone of anything or defend himself. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Rulang, your host. So glad you could join us today. I trust and hope you have a great evening. God spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Y'all have a great evening. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand.